I feel like I'm fixin' to die. It's the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. The Medicare podcast with a silver lining. Speaking of quitters, he quit smoking in 2015. Medicare expert Doug Jones.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome, welcome, welcome. As Drew McMillan said, you have reached Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. Thank you, Drew, for opening the episode. We're at episode number 57 today, recorded on May 12th of 2020. Drew McMillan, by the way, our announcer, is also the one of the two hosts of Powerboat TV, a Canadian television show all about the boating truck, trailer, and scantily clad bikini women, things that happen in Canadian summertime. Canada is just full of lakes and rivers and waters for boating, and boating is a big thing, as is fishing and apparently eating poutine. So if you care to indulge or at least learn how Canadians enjoy their watercraft hobbies, then go see Drew at powerboattv.com, and they have all the episodes from prior seasons up on that website, so you can watch them. Drew started working for that show as a host in 2020, so he would be in all of the episodes that were broadcast in 2020, and he did a fine job. It's fun to watch. When I think of the little kid bouncing on my knee, not too much, because frankly, I had my own kids bouncing on my knee, but to see what he's grown up to become is just, I take pride of parenthood, even though he's really my sister's kid and I had nothing to do with it. So you have reached, as I said, Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast, and we want to welcome you. Thank you so much for joining us today. The Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast is aimed at lazy people of all persuasions who know that they need to learn about Medicare but are dreading having to learn an alien, confusing subject matter having to do with insurance and government policy and all that stuff. Well, we try to make it painless for you and try to get you through that rough patch where you have a few decisions to make about Medicare. And once that rough patch has ended, you're probably never going to have to think about Medicare ever again because you will have made excellent decisions by virtue of your association with this show. And this show would include my buddy, Randy Carson, currently acting as broadcast engineer, but also is a software engineer among many other hats. Hiya, Randy. Which hat are you wearing today?
I am wearing my broadcast engineer hat today. I think that's appropriate for today because we are going to be discussing various things that we may have to cut out of the final copy.
Well, the problem is the subject matter that we started addressing in our prior episode brought snickers and guffaws to Randy and off-color, barely acceptable humor was, and he had to really edit his remarks so as not to offend our listening audience. And I'm just hoping he can hold it together for the balance of our list of items. Before we attack that, though, I had an announcement to make about the audiobook. As you know, if you go to Amazon or BarnesandNoble.com, you can get the paperback version of my book, Medicare for the Lazy Man 2020. At Amazon, you can also get the ebook or the Kindle version of the book. It's considerably less. However, when I autograph it, it pretty much wrecks the screen of your Kindle or your reading device. So if you want an autograph, you're going to have to buy a paperback version, which is a little pricier. Now, for a few weeks, we have had our audio version of the 2020 book out. It took them 3 months to figure out how to get it recorded and put it up for sale. We don't know why they dragged their feet. So I realized that I was, the audiobook was in one category, and I thought, you know, it might be helped by being in a few other categories. So I wrote to Amazon audiobook support, and I said, could you please put my book in this category, this category, and this category? And so after a couple of days, somebody wrote back from Asian part of the planet. And I believe that they might have developed a sense of humor, because they said, okay, we're going to put your book in the medical category, the aging well category, and the erotica category. And so I was about to fire back a really nasty letter saying, don't you ever do that to me. But then I thought, hey, it could expose me to a whole new readership. People perusing the erotica category, seeing a lazy guy with snores coming out of his mouth in an easy chair with the title Medicare for the Lazy Man, that could be very appealing to some people. If you've got your 63-year-old women that are always known for working ahead, you know, I got to plan ahead. I got to get ready for Medicare. But first, I'll look at all the dirty books in the Audible book section, and there's Medicare for the Lazy Man. It could open me up to a whole new category of readership. So I'm thinking, I'm not going to argue with them. Let them put it in the erotica category.
Now you're in the erotica category on the Audible. The other, what was it? Several weeks ago, you also mentioned that you're carrying second place in the travel book. So
yes,
I don't know just exactly what's going on with this categorization.
Well, the Audible book is the one that's going to be an erotica. The I think it's the paperback book is this number two in the travel tips category. And I think that's because since I espouse Medicare supplement plans, which are good everywhere in the United States and its possessions, and they also, the plans that I espouse also carry a foreign travel emergency benefit of upwards of $50,000. I think people that are buying the book recognize that it really is excellent for those people who travel, like in travel trailers or RVs. A lot of them go to Quartzsite, Arizona, and trade rocks with each other all winter long. You go out to Quartzsite and they're parked all over the desert. And then you go to Quartzsite in the summertime, there's nothing out there. So the whole population explodes and they're all trading rocks with each other. So I think that's the contingent of mature citizens that are pushing it to the number two position. And as always, the number one book in the travel tips category is a puzzle book. It's never varied. The puzzle book is number one, and my book is number two in travel tips. So at least people are listening to the message that I bring them, that if you have a certain lifestyle, which I guess I'm qualified for that. I live in two different states during the course of the year. Plus I travel a lot. I drive around in old cars. The advice that I give is perfect for those people, meaning buy a plan that I recommend, which will be good everywhere. And that way, when you're traveling and you need medical treatment, you don't have to worry about it. You don't have to look at a list of doctors and hospitals. You don't have to follow any stupid rules. You can just go to any doctor that takes Medicare payment and line up and sit in their office with your mask on or whatever, your hand sanitizer, and wait for them to treat you, because you're good to go when you follow Randy's advice and my advice to buy Medicare supplement plans. Anyway, last time we had a kind of a weird subject. When I say weird, it's a small percentage of people that have medical savings accounts or health savings accounts or flexible spending accounts. And those people have a chunk of money put into kind of like a bank account pre-tax. And then they have the option. They can go out and buy things that typically have to do with medical treatment, and they will never have to pay income tax on that money. Or they can take the money out and go blow it on, helium balloons and whatever else, kind of, you know, travel and, you know, hitchhiking around the U.S. and all that stuff. They can spend the money for non-medical things, and they will eventually get caught up and they'll have to pay income tax. as though they earn that money on a regular job. So we started out with a list of items that are qualified items under the plans where people have flexible spending accounts, health savings accounts, that's FSAs, HSAs, or medical savings accounts, and that's for people over age 65. That's a Medicare Advantage type of plan where the government puts money into an account on your behalf. And then with all three of those accounts, you have a list of items that you can buy that you will not have to pay any income tax on that money they've given you. So we were up to the C's, and then I jumped ahead to the E's because Randy and I had talked about putting an elevator in his house, and I knew he'd be interested to know that elevators would be considered eligible expenses for the purposes of his pre-tax pile of money that he's got sitting in his account. In this case, since he's over 65, it would be a medical savings account. So back to the C's. One of the things I wanted to point out was you could pay your co-insurance amount for dental insurance or health insurance. If you've got a Medicare supplement plan G, it's got a $200 annual deductible because Part B imposes that on Medicare participants. So there is a $200 expense that they could pay for with pre-tax money. And if you're in the 50% tax bracket and you've got a $200 deductible, that means you're only paying $100 for that $200 deductible in real terms. Then we get into corn and callus removers. Now, I was starting out to make this a contest where I asked Randy what his opinion was. And if I asked him whether corn and callus removers would be eligible for reimbursement by the pre-tax account, I'm pretty sure he would just be a smartass and say yes. In this case, he would be right. However, there are two categories for corn and callus removers. One is for treating specific ailments, and those are eligible. One is if they're removed for general use and comfort. So if you have your corns or calluses removed for general use and comfort, then that is an ineligible expense for your pre-tax funds.
So let now me, we're up to the, I've got, okay, now I've got to ask.
I was hoping you would.
I've got to ask. So in order for your corns and calluses to come under coverage, you said for general use and comfort. So
right.
What is the opposite of that would be covered again?
The opposite of that is corn and callus removers for treating specific ailments. So let's suppose that you have a headache and you use a corn and callus remover. Well, the cost of that corn and callus remover is eligible, but if you just need to be more comfortable, you cannot expect to be reimbursed for your purchase of a corn and callus remover.
So you have to be in pain. So it's not going to be covered if you're in dire pain, you can't walk, you've been on a scooter for the last 6 months. No, we're not going to cover that. We need to have something more specific.
You know, your government is a harsh mistress.
Oh, my God. I can't believe people really sit at home and go, wow, that's amazing that our government wants us to be in pain because we can't walk.
Yes, you cannot reimburse yourself from a pre-tax account if your corn and callus removers are for general use and comfort.
Generally use your, you can't, you have to specifically use your feet for what, dancing? You said there was dance lessons coming, right?
Well, that's right. That's the next item I was going to bring up, dance lessons. Now, this is good news for me because I don't like dancing. I don't like what I look like when I dance, and I just avoid dancing. But dancing lessons are an ineligible expense for reimbursement. You cannot reimburse yourself if you go out and purchase Fred McMurray lessons. You don't get the pre-tax, the treatment, the benign treatment of your expenditure there. That's going to be after tax money you have to spend at Arthur Murray or whatever. I don't
you
even know if
you wouldn't want to go out to get dance lessons anyway, Doug, because you can't peel your calluses off, so you're going to be in pain. You're going to be sitting along the sidewall, you know, like a wallflower.
Well, yeah, but let's suppose that you can get your boots on over your calluses and or corns, and you go out to Harold's, let's say, and they have a teacher there. Periodically, they have a young girl teaching people how to do the boot scootin' boogie or, you know, one of those kinds of things.
That's right.
Then if you want to tip that girl, you cannot do it from your pre-tax account. You're going to have to dip into your own after-tax money to pay for that. So I don't know, but I thought it was interesting that deductibles, I think it's important for people to realize that if they have deductible expenses under their medical insurance, their dental insurance or whatever, then those are eligible expenses. You can use your pre-tax money for that, but you can't use it for dental floss. God forbid that we keep our teeth healthy.
God forbid we try to avoid getting to the dentist, you know, with like dental floss and all the health care that you could apply to your mouth. No, they have to rot out of your head, and then we might pay for something.
And at that point, then you get to use your pre-tax money, which basically is having all of us taxpayers pay for your rotten teeth.
And, how about implants? You know, if all your teeth fall out and you haven't got anything to chew with, can you go get false teeth or implant? I mean, what are you going
to
do then?
Tell you what we'll do when we get down to the eyes, then we'll address implants. We'll see if they're
implants.
There.
Implants.
Right now we're in the D's. The next item I marked was deodorant.
Deodorant.
Yep.
Oh, for God's sake, I hope that's covered.
That's not covered. You cannot buy deodorant with your pre-tax money. I'm sorry. I'm sorry for you, and I'm sorry for anybody who has to put up with you on a hot day.
That's right. I mean, now they want you to be a social outcast. First of all, you're limping around because you can't get your shoes on or off. You can't take dance lessons. What can you do?
Well, you can. No, you can't. Buy a dust mask. They're not eligible. And we've seen a rapid increase in the use of masks of all types. Some of my neighbors who were early adopters are now running around in bandanas like bank robbers. But for the first time in human history, having a bunch of masked people lined up at your teller window is probably not as scary as one might have thought.
So one might want to realize that the average size of one of these viruses will fly through a bandana and or one of those surgical masks like it wasn't even there.
I don't think these people are thinking. I think it's more of a fashion statement. I don't really think. But okay. Ear or body piercing, I'm glad to see that we're not, those are not eligible expenses. So the taxpayer is not picking up the cost of ear or body piercings. However, that elevator we discussed last episode, Randy wants to put an elevator in his house. He's got 14-foot ceilings on the ground floor, and he stood me in the front hall looking up at this cavernous opening, and far up above you could see the second floor. And he said, you know, there's a lot of stairs there, and I'm kind of tired of climbing them all every day. So I'm thinking about an elevator, and we kind of allowed us how that was a perfect location for it. Well, you could, if you had one of these accounts, buy that with pre-tax dollars. Now, if you were in the 50% tax bracket, that means the taxpayers would be paying half the cost for you. So it's something to consider.
That sounds like a good idea to me.
Yeah, I'm thinking go ahead and do that, and let's see if Uncle Sam squawks.
I think I'll just create my own medical spending account. Say, I'll put $25,000 in. How about you?
You know, what's the worst that could happen? You know, you wind up in Leavenworth. That's the worst possible, downside of doing this yourself.
I bet they got elevators, though.
Oh, they do. In Leavenworth, absolutely, I'm sure. They don't want any prisoners having to undergo any sort of extra work that isn't necessary. Hell, in California, they're not even keeping them in jail. And so what the prisoners are doing, I've heard, is actually trying to catch the virus so that they can be released early from jail. So, I mean, nobody said criminals were geniuses, but this sounds like a foolproof course of action to me. Catch the disease, they'll send you home. And if you're young, nothing's going to happen to you anyway. A couple of days, you know, blowing your nose and laying in bed, and then you're back to normal.
Well, I do have one further comment about California.
Okay.
I did read that the governor has decided to close all the gun stores and let all the county prisoners out on the street. So
those two things don't go together.
I'm not sure those go together, but you know, ultimately, I'm just not following the logic there.
There is very little logic that I can think of. What I heard at noon today was that California beaches, as a result of public demand, so keep up the demands, people. Let them know that there are a bunch of morons running that state. But they're going to open the beaches statewide. They're going to allow people to run around, jump, and play in the surf and splash around. But they will not permit any sedentary activities. So you can go to the beach all you want to, but you better keep moving or else they're going to bust your ass. So really. Once again, so
don't stop. Come on, Grandma. Move it, Grandma.
Otherwise, you're going to jail, baby. Once again, those geniuses that run California are creating a heaven of stupidity for the rest of us to enjoy.
You're going to have to pick it up, Grandma. They're chasing us right now.
Yeah, that's just a sad thing when you drag the old folks out to the beach for their own health and welfare, and then you make them keep moving. Okay, other items on the list of eligible expenses for your pre-tax flexible spending account or health savings account or medical savings account: funeral, cremation, or burial expenses. I would think that's the least. You would, once you croak, are you really going to care how your money gets spent?
I really don't care. If I'm poking up daisies, I don't really care how I got there.
Some government functionary thinks it's very important for you to know that those are not eligible expenses. So they're going to take.
So death and it's really the old story of death and taxes. You can't get out of it.
You got it. You got it.
Nor can you apply your spending account.
That's exactly right. Money that you've worked hard for that the government has said is going to be tax-free, they're going to grab their piece of it if you try to spend that money on funerals, cremations, or burial expenses. However, gambling addiction treatment, that's an eligible expense.
It is eligible?
Absolutely. So.
Oh, my gosh. Now my head is just spinning.
How do they know you have that?
I don't know.
They can't look at you and see it. It's not like a disease where you can measure the temperature or you can hear the cough or whatever. So if you go in and say, look, I got a gambling problem and I need a bunch of pre-tax money to solve my gambling problem, that sounds like...
I'll meet you over here at the Golden Nugget.
Sounds like a big Saturday night in Las Vegas to me.
Yeah, they've got a class over here at the Golden Nugget to control my addiction.
Yes, and they want me to get over there right away. So household help is an ineligible expense. And two other ineligible expenses, this shocked the heck out of me. Illegal operations and treatments, not eligible. Also, illegally obtained drugs. You cannot use your pre-tax money to pay for illegal operations and treatments or illegally obtained drugs. So that's
so you can't pay your local crack dealer?
No, you got to pay him with after-tax dollars.
After-tax dollars.
And that just drives up the cost of the crack.
I know it does.
You cannot pay your insurance premium with your pre-tax account money. Then it goes into, there's this long explanation about qualified premiums. Let's see, certain health insurance premiums are eligible to be paid out of a health savings account. And that would include COBRA health insurance after you reach age 65. So there are all kinds of qualifications here, but typically your regular insurance, like your car insurance or your life insurance, cannot pay with after-tax dollars from your health savings account or your flexible spending account. Late fees. if you pay your medical bills late, like you go to the doctor and he sends you a bill for $30 or, well, probably $100. And if you don't pay it for a while and they eventually tack on another $50 because you didn't pay it on time, you cannot pay that late fee with pre-tax money from your flexible spending account. Marijuana, no. Marriage counseling, no. Maternity clothes, no. Meals, no. Boy, they got a lot of stuff. Frankly, I gotta applaud this. They're saving me money. They're not allowing people to throw their pre-tax money around in wasteful ways. Medical grade face mask, potentially eligible. Well, this list was written last year. I'll bet you that potentially has gone away now. Medical grade face mask.
Are these bandanas?
Now,
are they medical grade bandanas?
They're medical grade face masks that would do a doctor or a nurse proud. Just like a cop goes to the cop store to get body armor and maybe a small pistol to carry on their ankle, this would be where a doctor or a nurse goes to get medical stuff. And in this case, the face mask they get at a medical supply store would be medical grade, and they are potentially eligible for reimbursement.
So what, okay, now I have to ask, potentially, what would be the situation if it was not covered versus it was
covered? Let's think about how they would catch you. You have a report on your tax return that goes in with your tax return. I don't know if it's a Schedule Q or something like that, where it has said, have you taken money out of your account this year? Yes, I have. What have you purchased with the money that you've taken out of the account? And how much does that money cost you? So you've taken out $1,000. You've spent $900 of it on medical grade face masks, dancing lessons, and marijuana. Well, the twerp that gets to look at your tax return has to decide whether the amounts of money you've spent on eligible items adds up to the amount you took out of the account, or whether you owe taxes because you spent some of that money on ineligible items, like elevators, I don't know. So it's got to be an IRS flunky that looks at your tax return and determines whether you owe income tax on the money that you spent on ineligible items from this list. For instance, a medical newsletter. Sounds like that would be just fine. Let me learn about medical stuff. Nope. Ineligible. Late fee for your medical bill or a missed appointment fee. If your doctor sends you a bill for like $50 because you never showed up for your appointment, then that is ineligible. However, nicotine patches, gum, lozenges. Do you use any of that stuff when you were quitting smoking, Randy? Nicotine patches and stuff like that?
Yes, I tried. I did use it. I had, you know, instead of one patch, I figured five were much better.
Yeah, I would smoke with the patches because I got a better buzz.
I looked like I'd been out of a gunfight because I had so many patches on and I was still smoking five packs a day. So they didn't really help me any.
No, those things are of limited value in my opinion. However, they're eligible for you to buy with pre-tax dollars out of your flexible spending account or your medical savings account. Orthodontics, that's eligible. Patient responsibilities are eligible. They include the portions you have to pay. Now, we already covered this with deductibles and stuff, but your co-insurance and things like that for dental insurance, vision, other medical insurance, co-pays, and reasonable and customary charge limits or benefit limits. I don't know. They don't make this easy to understand. But legitimate medical expenses that you've got insurance coverage for, but the insurance doesn't cover 100%, the part you have to pay would be a legitimate expense from your pre-tax account. Prescription drug discount program fees, not eligible. Remember a few episodes ago, we talked about drug discount cards. Well, if you have to pay for a drug discount card, you can't take that money out of your pre-tax account. On the other hand, if you're a nutcase, you're fine. Psychiatric care is an eligible expense.
Heaven forbid we buy a plan or, you know, buy a card so we try to save some money.
Yeah.
And that fee is not covered. I'm really beginning to see a pattern here, Doug.
The pattern is they want to have their hand in your pocket in case any loose money falls into your pocket that they can grab onto.
That's right. All right. That's right.
Here's one that threw me for a loop, and it's not eligible, so it's probably not really important. Surrogate expenses. What do you think you do with the surrogate? That gets the imagination running wild. I don't know what kind of a surrogate they're talking about, but I have my suspicions.
Well, I think I'm. So is that not eligible?
Not eligible.
Not eligible. Okay. Well, that's probably how appropriate.
How about swimming eligible. Lessons and swimming? The cost of a swimming pool and maintenance. No, you're right.
No.
You're absolutely right. You're getting the hang of this game.
No, you can jump in there and sink right to the bottom of the pool, and we're not going to pay for any of that unless you happen to, let's see, what were some of the covered expenses that we could apply to
Well,
that?
Elevators were potentially covered. Corn and callus removers for treating specific ailments. Yeah.
Well, that would be a specific ailment because you would be drowning.
But on the other hand, let's suppose that you had your friends over who happened to be surrogates, professional surrogates. You got three levels of ineligible there. That's a big nine.
Yeah, we're just going to have to send them home at this point.
Yeah, there's no way that you can reimburse them from your pre-tax account that you
got.
Go
down my elevator and go home.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Travel for general health improvement. So if you've got travel that's going to generally improve your health, I don't know if that means you're going to India to have your appendix removed or what travel for general health improvement is, but that is not eligible. Don't even think about it.
There's a pattern here developing in that every time you're trying to do something to avoid getting sick, it seems to be not covered.
They're not going to help you do things to avoid keep getting sick. They're only going to take care of you after the sickness has struck, is what it looks like to me.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. We are going to have to sign off momentarily. Right. We have spent our money and we have no more because our allowance is gone.
And we've used all of our pre-tax money.
We have. Well, we absolutely have. And the rest of the stuff we want to do, Doug, is not covered.
Yes, it's. They're not going to help us defray the cost of all the fun stuff we had in mind. So
that's right.
I guess we're SOL, as my surrogate likes to say.
That's right. Absolutely. So we need to thank the audience, but first, before we do that, tell us about your book on Amazon and Barnes & Noble, and you're still in number one in the erotica section.
Well, I don't know how well I'm doing in erotica yet.
On the Audibles, there must be something about your voice that
took it into
the other section.
I've never thought my voice was going to penetrate the email that I was communicating with these people. I lovingly call them Haji because I don't know their individual names. And if they ever tell me their names, I think they're fake anyway. But it looks like we have a close to number one paperback. It's been number one most of the time since last January, but a $200 textbook has shoved it out of the number one spot. Now the ebook, the Kindle version, still number one almost every day, and the Audible book is picking up. We're selling more and more of those all the time. So seems to be a popular item now that they got their poop together and got the 2020 version out. Jeez, poor readers were buying the 2019 version just because it was the only Audible that was available. So now the 2020 version is there and people seem to be figuring out, and that's what they're buying. So what else should we talk about? The website. You've got a fantastic website that you and your crack staff designed for me that's medicareforthelazyman.com. I never said the name of the book. It's Medicare for the Lazy Man 2020. Once again, yes. Audible, Kindle, or paperback, and you can get it at Barnes & Noble or Amazon.com.
And there's also an Audible version now.
Did I say audible? I hear an echo. I think I did say audible, but okay. if I didn't, then you clean that up for me nicely. Mailbag, we want you to correspond with us, and we will occasionally, mostly when people accost Randy outside the Buffalo Chip, we will have some mailbag items. And he correctly points out that when one person writes in with a question, it's probably the same question that's on a lot of other people's minds. So we like the mailbag items because it's like killing a bunch of birds with one stone. So send your comments or your questions to dbj@mlmmailbag.com. And we'll be sitting there with our catcher's mitt waiting for them to arrive. And if they're completely meaningless, we'll make something up that sounds good, and you'll look normal by the time we get finished with your request or your question when it arrives here at the show. Anything else we should tell them, Randy?
Not that I can think of, Doug.
In that case, I guess we should say goodbye. So thank you for joining us today. And if you don't have a flexible spending account, you're probably not even here anymore anyway. But once again, we've always enjoyed spending our time with you, and look forward to our next opportunity to do that.
But as you mentioned, Doug, it's not deductible.
No, it's not. And don't expect the government to look upon it benignly when you submit your tax return with all these weirdo expenses on it.
Yes, you could have been several other places, and instead, you were with us listening to a lot of great information from Doug Jones, the anti-insurance guy from MedicareForTheLazyMan.com.
Thanks for joining us. Bye-bye.